you know, we've made a lot of progress. We're still consistently, on a national basis, reducing injuries. But, you know, we need to continue to do better, and we will.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority outlines its report on horse deaths last year. The Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, the industry's first national regulating body, has issued its much-anticipated report on horse deaths at several tracks, including Saratoga Racecourse in New York. The findings and recommendations come after more than a dozen horse deaths at Saratoga last year. HISA says horse fatalities are almost always from a variety of causes and says the response must be all hands on deck. Joining us now to discuss the report is HISA CEO Lisa Lazarus. Nice to talk to you again.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
So what does it mean to have an all hands on deck response?
You know, what that means is that it's not just one stakeholder group within the racing ecosystem that needs to look at practices or patterns on how to improve things and make things better. For example, it's not just about veterinary protocols and horse inspections and rules around veterinary care and treatment. We also need to look at surfaces. We need to look at weather. We need to get really anything that, obviously medication, anything that might impact a horse's well-being.
So if somebody last year saw a number of horse deaths at Saratoga and they're reading this report, they're not necessarily going to find, you know, a single smoking gun.
Correct. There's really rarely one single factor. I think maybe the easiest way to think about it is that, you know, when somebody has a heart attack, a human has a heart attack, you know, you often think, or a doctor might say, you know, it might have been because they were overweight, might have been because they had high cholesterol, they were under a lot of stress. It's probably all of those things working in tandem. So it's not that we don't know what contributes, what has an impact. It's just that we can't say it's only the service or it's only, you know, the horse's veterinary history or its exercise history. It's sort of all of those things working together.
Okay, so in that case, what are some of the reasons that HISA discovered for the spate of deaths, particularly at Saratoga?
Sure. So we look at, you know, a number of things. We do a very deep dive into the horse's veterinary history, the necropsy, which is essentially an autopsy for a horse, and everything, and all of it's also like its exercise history, how many works it had, how many races it had. And so one of the things that we found there are a couple of things that really stood out there. The first is that horses that have more high-speed events, so in other words, more works and more races within a shorter period of time, are, in this case, with regards to this report, compared to a similar cohort of horses, were 2.5 times more likely to have an injury. So we can see that overtraining can really be a thing, and that we need to look at what that means and how that happens and how to work collectively with trainers, you know, to maximize the health and welfare of their horses. We also saw an extraordinarily atypical amount of rainfall at Saratoga this past summer. And while we couldn't pinpoint a particular impact on the surface, we feel that that factor cannot be disregarded. And one of the things that we've done as a result is we have a racetrack services testing laboratory located in Lexington, Kentucky, that sort of regularly takes samples of all of our racetracks and analyzes them for consistency and other factors that impact safety. And so we're really going to be doing a deep dive on weather and making sure that we're integrating weather data in a way that helps us understand the patterns and the impact. And the third thing that we found is the majority of horse injuries happen in the fetlock joint, which is really the ankle joint. But usually that number is about 50%. For the Saratoga injuries and fatalities, it was actually 90% of them were in the ankle joint. And one of the things we discovered in doing that review of the horse's history is that three of those horses had an intra-articular injection of corticosteroid to the ankle joint within 30 days of the race. And we had already submitted a rule to the Federal Trade Commission for approval. That's the body that actually approves all of our rules within the federal government, banning those sorts of injections within 30 days of a race. We currently have a ban within 14 days, but we've asked for it to extend that out to 30 days. And we think now with, you know, what we saw in Saratoga, while it's not conclusive, it certainly lends, you know, more credence to making that rule slightly more restrictive.
At the same time, the New York Racing Association, in concert with HISA, is exploring changing to artificial surfaces at its three tracks. Is that seen as likely to cut down on the number of fatalities?
You know, absolutely. And David O'Rourke, who's the chief executive over at NYRA, is really an advocate and I think a visionary in that regard.
He's on the committee that's looking into this.
Exactly. And he's really a leader. And he sees, you know, how you have to have dirt, you have to have turf, but how they all work together. And bringing in more all-weather tracks is certainly a huge help. And what we found is especially a help in I think, in climates where weather is variable, where you do get a lot of rain and you need to maintain the surface. At the end of the day, the real issue that the data seems to suggest is that it's just harder to maintain a dirt surface. So if you have a lot of variable weather, maintaining an all-weather surface is just easier.
One thing that's stuck out to me in the report are two potential rule changes that are proposed that, as you say, the FTC would have to approve. One is that HISA would be able to essentially shut down a racetrack. It would be able to suspend the accreditation. The second is that it would be able to itself suspend someone's registration, a trainer, a jockey, something like that, who works at the track if they have reasonable suspicion about unsafe practices. So that would be a notable change from taking that sort of authority away from the state bodies and giving it to HISA, right?
Well, we'd have concurrent authority. So, you know, we wouldn't be taking away their authority. They would still have the authority to shut down a racetrack for the reasons that are in violation of their rules. But it does give HISA the more specific tools or authority to address, you know, very serious situations. You know, we certainly think, and our experience has been, that if a racetrack, if we can show a racetrack that there's something amiss that's causing horse injuries, they're more likely to work with us to repair it or shut down themselves. But in the case, you know, if we do have a situation where it doesn't happen, we will ultimately, if the FTC approves the rules, have the authority to do it on our own initiative.
What's the threshold under which HISA would, you know, sort of want to be on the ground investigating a death or a number of deaths at a track? Is it, you know, a certain amount per week? Is it a certain amount per meeting? How does that work?
You know, there's not one specific answer or number because we look at the factors of the reasons. You know, if you have, you know, if you're unlucky or it's unfortunate that there's a few deaths in a week and they relate to things that are, you know, sickness or illness or something happening in the stall that don't really have any correlation to the track, well, that wouldn't be something that would necessarily get us concerned. But if there are, you know, multiple injuries, particularly the same nature, you know, on one particular track and particularly around the same place on a track, that's something that we would obviously take very seriously. And we do have a track supervisory advisory group, basically some of the best track superintendents in the country. And we would dispatch them to look at the track and to engage with the track on basically what to do.
What were some of the bigger questions that remain unanswered in your mind, having looked at the data from this particular report?
You know, that's a great question. For me, there's a couple things. One is, my instinct is that, you know, rain played a significant role just because the increase in rain was so significant. And frankly, I was there. You know, I was actually at the track, you know, quite a bit this summer. And so I feel like that was very likely a significant factor, but we can't prove it scientifically at this point in time. And so that's why I hope the Racetrack Services Testing Laboratory can sort of take it a step up in terms of analyzing weather data and integrating into all the other data points they look at. The other thing, you know, I would say is folks are constantly asking, you know, is there anything in the breeding? Are we breeding a faster horse at the expense of a sturdier or a horse that has more sort of resilience physically? And I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not even sure we know exactly how to go about answering it. We certainly are looking at it. And the last thing, I think, which time will tell, is are our medication rules in the right place, and are they playing a positive role? And again, I think they are. You know, HISA took over the anti-doping program only in May of last year, so sort of after Churchill, after the Derby, and after the Preakness, before the Belmont. And, you know, we do see anecdotally some very positive signs, but I'm hoping that the data will tell us, you know, once or maybe a year in, what impact it's having, if any, and what we need to do better.
Related question. Saratoga is about to host for the first time the Belmont Stakes as part of a pre-regular meeting four-day festival. Are there any risks associated with opening that track at a different time of year for such a limited amount of time? Will there be the testing that you're talking about and the adequate monitors in place for that shorter festival?
Yeah. So, no, I really am confident that there will be. First of all, you know, Naira, Dave O'Rourke, and Glenn Kozak, who's their track superintendent and is probably, you know, the most, you know, one of the most, if not the most talented, expert at track services that we have in the country. You know, they have been incredibly cooperative, and, you know, and obviously they don't even actually need us to tell them to do it. They, on their own initiative, are doing everything they need to do to make sure that the track is ready. And I'm very confident with all the checks and balances in place that it will be. And also, we tend to have, you know, less problems at the beginning of a meet, particularly if it relates to the track, because, you know, it's over wear and tear and the maintenance that I think is probably more challenging. So I think it gives us an opportunity to make sure that, you know, there's a good foundation in place, and that everything possible to minimize the risk of injury has been deployed.
So given this new report, I want to return to something I asked you when you were first hired as CEO of HISA. This report concludes, as we said, that there are a number of factors that go into a catastrophic horse breakdown in racing. Can racing be conducted safely in a way that eliminates fatalities?
So I believe that racing can be conducted safely. I believe that we can continue to make strong progress. We've got a number of tools at our disposal that we haven't fully maximized their value yet. And I think I know that we can get close to or be sort of analogous to our international peers who have very, you know, admirable fatality and injury rates. Horses, will we get to a point where we have zero fatalities? I certainly hope so. That's, I think, a very difficult metric to obtain. Most people would say it's impossible, because horses are living beings, and, you know, they, just like they encounter things in the wild that put them at risk, you know, we those same things would replicate themselves, you know, day to day. But I think we can get it to a point where the risk and the outcomes are better. You know, I think they're already better than they probably would be in the wild, but that we can really maximize all the tools at our disposal to minimize injury and have a very safe sport.
So just one more thing, you know, how much of this comes down to, you know, environmental factors and just inherent danger? You know, the surface has been used for X number of days, it's rained this amount, and then you have bad luck with, you know, maybe some bumping down the stretch and a horse goes down, versus bad human actors who are, you know, employing doping or giving shots outside of a prescribed period or cutting some corner that we don't even know about.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I believe that with the amount of data that we're collecting and the tools we have at our disposal now, that we can really very dramatically minimize the things that we can control. And I think I said a minute ago that one of the unanswered questions for me at this point in time is what impact our medication program, our much more stringent anti-doping and medication control program, is on, you know, horse injury or horses' risks for injuries. And I think with some more time, we'll have a much better picture of that, and I'll be able to answer that question question better. But for now, I think that we have, you know, we've made a lot of progress. We're still consistently, on a national basis, reducing injuries. But, you know, we need to continue to do better, and we will.
Lisa Lazarus is the CEO of the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, HISA, and we've been discussing a new report on equine fatalities in 2023 at racetracks, including Saratoga Racecourse in New York State. Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.